الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. اللہ رب العزت کے پاک اور پیارے نام کے ساتھ ہم اس مجلس کا آغاز کرتے ہیں. ہمتن اللہ رب العزت کی طرف متوجہ ہو جائیے شکر کے ساتھ اور اس ذوق شوق کے ساتھ کہ اللہ رب العزت ہمارے دل کی حالت کو بدل دے. اللہ تعالیٰ اس مل بیٹھنے کو ہمارے لیے ذریعہ نجات بنا دے. آمین یا رب العالمین. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أستغفر الله ربي من كل ذنب وأتوب إليه. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، الحمد لله. الحمد لله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. ألم نشرح ولم نشرح لك شيئا. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد، الله الصمد، لم يلد ولم يولد، ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. قل هو الله أحد، قل هو الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. آمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اللهم يا قاضي الحاجات، يا قاضي الحاجات، يا قاضي الحاجات، يا قاضي الحاجات. اللهم يا كافي المهمات، يا كافي المهمات، يا كافي المهمات، يا كافي المهمات، يا كافي. اللهم يا دافع البليات، يا دافع البليات، يا دافع البليات. اللهم يا شافي الأمراض، يا شافي الأمراض، يا شافي الأمراض، يا شافي. اللهم يا رافع الدرجات، يا رافع الدرجات، يا رافع الدرجات، يا رافع. اللهم يا مجيب الدعوات، يا مجيب الدعوات، يا مجيب الدعوات. اللهم يا مسبب الأسباب، يا مسبب الأسباب، يا مسبب الأسباب. اللهم يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أرحم الراحمين، يا أرحم الراحمين. برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. آمين. پیارے اللہ، جو کچھ پڑھا گیا اس کا ثواب اپنے فضل اپنے کرم کے ساتھ تمام انبیاء کرام اور مرسلین علیہ الصلوۃ والسلام کی خدمت میں ہماری طرف سے حدیثاً پہنچا دیجئے، بالخصوص ہمارے آقا حضرت محمد مصطفیٰ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی خدمت میں، اعلی نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کے وسیلے سے تمام صحابہ کرام رضوان اللہ اجمعین، تمام صدیقین، تمام شہداء، تمام صالحین، تمام علماء و مشائخ اہل سنہ والجماعت کو، اے اللہ تمام مؤمنین مؤمنات، مسلمین مسلمات کی ارواح کو، بالخصوص نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی امتیوں کو اللہ اس کا ثواب پہنچا دیجئے، آمین یا رب العالمین. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا خفي اللطف أدركني بلطفك الخفي. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا باقي أنت الباقي. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك أستغيث. يا حي يا قيوم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والله ذو فضل على المؤمنين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله ولي الذين آمنوا. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والله ولي المؤمنين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الله نور السماوات والأرض. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. لا إله إلا الله، لا إله إلا الله. لا إله إلا الله، محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. For the last few weeks we have been discussing the necessary ingredients to become a مقرب of Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Somebody who's close to him, somebody who's near to him. And we looked at these general concepts that if a person brings those concepts in their life, it becomes easier, meaning this journey becomes much easier to become close to the divine, become somebody who's pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just a brief recap, we looked at seeking out actively the company of the righteous people, kunu ma'as sadiqeen. And in general, that is something that should be necessary for each and every one of us, because we all want to be inspired, we all want motivation in our life. And alhamdulillah, the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ulama of this deen, they are such motivation and they inspire us to become a better version of ourselves. But we also looked at approaching these situations and these circumstances and this company in a state or in a hal of adab, in a state of qadr, in a state of muhabba. That is necessary that we should have a mannerism, an attitude of adab. And in general, this is something that we should have in our life. Then we also looked at it from the perspective of seekers of ilm, of knowledge, that it should not just be to obey the thirst of our mind, but it should really be seeking knowledge that is really beneficial to us, meaning it gives us sharah sadr, it becomes a light, it becomes a source of nur for us, and brings us into a state of enlightenment. And such a knowledge will drive usually a person to do amal saliha. A person will become mutaharrik, meaning doing amal-e-saliha will become easy for such a person. And such a person will seek out ways, seek out actions that they can collect and they can bring in their lives. So inshallah ta'ala, their every day of their life is better than the day that they have spent. Such a person is also a one that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses with a state of hikmah, which is this wisdom. And obviously this wisdom, you know, people will say will come with experience, but I will say that this wisdom comes with the right kind of experience, right? Because we learn not from our experience, but we learn from reflecting on our experiences. And so all the experiences that we have with our mashayikh, with our ulama, in the righteous company, all of that helps us, alhamdulillah, to learn proper decision making in our life. How to make good decisions, how to make proper decisions, like how to act in every situation. Once we have seen that, and once we have seen that from our own righteous people, then it becomes easy not to make mistakes, right? Then I don't have to second guess. I have no idea how to behave in a certain situation. So this is, you know, the hikmah that we find in our Salaf Saliheen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had filled them with this notion. And alhamdulillah, they were able to achieve so much in their life. They were not reactionary. They always used to think things through. Alhamdulillah, just because their heart was at peace, the heart was in connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this divine wisdom, the wisdom from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala flowed through them as well. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we'll try to finish this topic. Now, when a person has experienced this, when a person has been in the company of you know, the virtuous people, and when a person seeks out knowledge that is beneficial, does amal on it, becomes also themselves a source of wisdom, hikmah, then there are certain kayfiyat and ahwal that you will find. And one of them, we have spoken about this before, is what we call zuhd fi dunya. Only when you have kind of gone through this process will you realize this zuhd fi dunya. Zuhd is really understanding the reality of this dunya. That is what zuhd is. You know, the natural state of our being is that we are attached, we are attracted, we are connected to this dunya. Dunya is anything that we see around us. Dunya is, you know, all the things that we accumulate in our lives. Dunya is our state of, you know, status and ranks and things like that. You know, what we call jah and what we call ba. So it could be physical, but it could also be something that we just seek. You know, I want to have a specific title next to me, and I want to people to recognize me with that title. So people will have all of these desires and passions. All of this is dunya. Some mashayikh will say ghairullah. But only once you have gone through the process, you realize the reality of the dunya, in a sense that it is so temporal. And you can just go, you know, what we call in our life, in our own tongue, it's so bekar, right? That it's so useless, like running after it, that, you know, if we were taking our last breath and if we look back, you know, if we look back and reflect on the life that we have led and things that we ran after, we'd probably laugh. We'd probably laugh at ourselves. Like, what did we do? How did we spend our life? What were those things that we were running after? So zuhd fi dunya is that disconnect from the dunya. Now, just like before, I want to be extremely, extremely clear that zuhd fi dunya does not mean that you are in a state of faqr, that you're in a state of need, you know, with other people, of ihtiyaj with other people. No. Zuhd fi dunya is that the heart is not attached to the lazat of the dunya. You don't define yourselves based on how many lazat, how many enjoyments, how many pleasures you have in your life. But in terms of your actual connection and ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, so you have to be very clear. Because as I've mentioned before, alhamdulillah, if you look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, It's not that Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have a source of income. He did, you know, especially in Medina Munawwara. But if you look at his life, he was so disconnected from it that whatever would come, he would just give it sadaqas. He would just spend on the community. He would spend on the ummah. He never used it to really what we would call improve his own lifestyle. Right? He never used it to define himself in terms of, oh, look at how much I have. Right? An example of somebody who did use it, you know, Qarun. In the Quran itself tells the story of Qarun, somebody whose wealth, the wealth that Allah Ta'ala gave him, just became a source of his own misguidance. Right? So Sahaba Karam Rizwanullah Hajmain, we find many examples of people who Allah Ta'ala blessed with the dunya, but they used it in the right way. Greatest example of Usman Ghani, the reason that he was called Ghani, what that he had this istighna, that Allah Ta'ala gave him so much, but he just kind of used it as a source of benefiting the community, benefiting the ummah, and to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, that's basically what he was. He would use and he would find ways of benefiting. Abu Bakr Siddiq was also quite affluent, and we mentioned last time that especially when the boycott of Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family was happening in Shaybi Abi Talib, one of the few people who really just spent whatever they had was Abu Bakr Siddiq, because he was a merchant, he was a trader. And so whatever Allah Ta'ala had blessed him, he just used that because he was from a different family, so he was not boycotted. Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu was not boycotted, so they were just spent. So we also have to become those people that utilize whatever khair Allah Ta'ala gives us in terms of what we call dunya, whether it is physical possession or whether it is titles and a positionality, what we call our vantage. You know, that Allah Ta'ala puts you in a position of power or authority. We use all of that to benefit the ummah. We have to use it for the benefit of the ummah. This is what zuhud is. You know, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah ta'ala, somebody asked him that if there is some virasa, some inheritance, and somebody makes a wasiyah, somebody makes a will that, you know, you should give all of this to mutawakkilin, then who should we give it to? He said that you should give it to the farmers. So if a will is that, you know, whatever I have, give it to the mutawakkilin, people who have tawakkul, who trust Allah, he said, give it to the farmers. That makes sense because, you know, a farmer, all they do is they toil and they put the seeds in. And after that, it is complete tawakkul in Allah Ta'ala. Whether those seeds grow or not grow, whether there is an attack of insects and locusts, and whether it's going to rain, they'll find water, they'll find fertilizers. God forbid there's some kind of fire. All of that, this is just complete tawakkul, that from the seed all the way to a crop that they're able to harvest. It's tawakkul after tawakkul after tawakkul. So that is what mutawakkilin is. And somebody then asked him that if somebody wills that, give all of my belongings, my virasa, and my inheritance to the most intelligent person. Most intelligent person, who should I give it to? And he said that you should give it to the Zahideen. You should give it to the Jamaat of people of Zuhd. People who have understood the reality of the dunya. So give it to them. Because they are the most intelligent people. Right? So the most intelligent people is not necessarily a person with the best degrees and from the best colleges, universities, or best jobs and that sort of thing. A person is who understands the haqiqa and he who utilizes these positionalities and this wealth that Allah Ta'ala gives for the right purpose. So this is something we have to really make very clear in our minds. Okay? Especially nowadays, the time that we are living in, it is necessary that, you know, the Muslims rethink their approach to the dunya, not necessarily being attached to it. Again, as I said, I've said it like the nth time now, but really, how do we utilize it to benefit the 2 billion Muslims that exist today in extreme weakness, in a state of extreme weakness, in a state of extreme like fragmentation, and, you know, they're not acting like one body. even though pockets of Muslims may have resources, but they're not using their resources for the benefit of the ummah, for the benefit of the deen. They are using these resources for building tall buildings and constructing tall buildings and, building casinos and like concert halls and whatnot, like just re kind of redesigning the Muslim society. Right? So it's unfortunate, it's tragic that whatever Allah Ta'ala has given, you don't use it for the benefit of the whole of Ummah, to bring it together for the unity of the Ummah, for the strength of the Ummah, that requires nowadays, that today, nowadays, it is absolutely required, I would say. Like it's almost like fardh-e kifaya for the Ummah to be experts, to be people who are experts in technology, people who understand technology, people who are experts in STEM, right? People who are experts and lead this, right? All you need to do is look at the history. Like the history, it's not the lack of iman. Alhamdulillah, there were people of iman, but like Rasulullah, and I was talking to somebody that Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nobody could be closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody is a greater wali than our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nobody is a role model than our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, right? With that connection, with that divine connection, you find, of course, there are a lot of ahadith that talk about how he made du'as and how he really, went into sujood and asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, there's that. Meaning we need to become people who have du'as, people of du'a, we go into sajda, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But on the other hand, Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam was one of the greatest planners. If you look at the logistics of how he arranged the Muslim community, if you look at how he went out of the way to meet with different tribes, to have treaties with different tribes, and the whole the I mean there, it was very elaborate. So you find that you need both of them. He actually sent Sahaba Kiram Rizwanullahi Ajma'in to learn languages, because as we know that the Arab, the Rivaj wasn't there to learn, right? I mean there were I mean of course there were dwellers of the deserts, right? And the lifestyle was very, it was either trade or commerce, or if you look at Medina Munawwara, you have people who would farm and who would grow dates. So it wasn't like a what we would call like having big libraries and people who are who are engaged in that kind of learning. But you had a few people, but those were the people who went to the Byzantine Empire, Roman Empire, Syria nowadays and whatnot, and learned from there. So Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually sent Sahaba Kiram Rizwanullahi Ajmain to learn this. And so again, as an ummah, we need to develop expertise. We need to develop expertise in every single field that is out there. Again, we don't use that for our own wahwa. We don't use it, oh mashallah, look at me, I won a Nobel Prize in chemistry or something like that. None of that matters. None of that wahwa matters. What matters is how do we utilize, again, that knowledge, that expertise, that positionality, that wealth, everything Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us for the sake of benefiting the deen, for the sake of benefiting the ummah, in service of it. Okay, so this is what I usually, I tell the youth and youngsters that, you have to really look at your life from that perspective. Okay, learn your deen. Yes, so you understand what life is all about. You find meaning, you find purpose in it. But also make sure that your life, that 50, 60 years that you're living in this dunya, and everybody's different. Not everybody can become an engineer, not everybody can become a doctor, not a. Every person's journey is going to be different, but you have to put in front of you, how do I benefit the ummah? How do I maximize that benefit? Okay? And that is all part of the zuhd. That is all part of the zuhd. We act like Hazrat Uthman al-Ghani, we act like Hazrat Abdurrahman ibn Auf, we act like Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, We act like the Sahaba Kiram Rizwanul. And even just an example just given, Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullah, we know that he was a merchant, he was quite wealthy. Right? No man, you know, he was Imam Abu Hanifa, he was quite wealthy actually. But you know, subhanAllah, he would spend. The famous example of Abdullah ibn Mubarak Rahmatullah, he was a muhaddith, a great muhaddith, extremely wealthy person. Right? They were merchants, they engaged in this, but again, they were people who understood their place in this dunya. So yes, they have all of this, but they understood that my job is to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and use whatever Allah ta'ala has given me in the service of them. So they did that. So they did that. Okay, so again, this is the choice is up to us. Do we become like Qarun? Qarun had an end as well. Right? And we all know what the end of Qarun was. Or we become like Hazrat Usman Ghani radiallahu ta'ala anhu, or we become like Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, or we become like all the other Salaf Saliheen who were also wealthy and rich, but alhamdulillah, Allah ta'ala gave them what is a Khatma bil Khair, a beautiful end as well. Okay, so this is Zuhud fi Dunya. And with the Zuhud fi Dunya, once your heart is in that state of Zuhud, this is when the natural or the right or pure inclination towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes easy. This is what we call anabat ilallah. Right? Anabat ilallah, again, it's a state of heart. It's a state of the ruh, that your heart is inclined towards Allah. Okay? You can be a student of knowledge without being a munib, abd munib. Because you might be doing it because, you know, you want people to call you a hafiz or an alim or this or that, or, you know, you want to be what they call be a Muslim leader, right? That word that is used nowadays, you know, being in a leadership position. That's one. But with that anabat ilallah, with the ruju' ilallah, that inclination, wo kisi Allah ki taraf ek jhukao jisko kehte hain, and the Quran calls it, you know, people, abd munib. People of inaba or qalbi munib, the heart that has inabat in it, that is inclined towards Allah. Once you empty out your heart from the desires and passions of the dunya, then it becomes easy to make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your goal in life. Okay? And then, as I said, you use whatever resources Allah ta'ala gives you, whatever talents Allah ta'ala, capabilities Allah ta'ala gives you, in service of becoming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's an important thing to have this bi-raghbati towards the dunya and have this raghba towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is also, this state of heart is also called ikhlas, sincerity, right? Because once you empty your heart from the passions of the dunya, then it becomes extremely easy to do everything for your beloved, right? Because now all you think about is your beloved. So ikhlas is a good state to have. So alhamdulillah, you know, once a person feels that, this is a safer place to be. Of course, nobody's safe till they breathe their last. We also always have to be cautious of shaitan and the trickery of shaitan in our own nafs, always. But when a person feels that the raghbat of the dunya is not there, and I've mentioned what that means. It means the attachment is not there. It doesn't mean lack of it. It's just that you're not defining yourself through it. And when a person just is filled with that inaba, with that raghbat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, how do I become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and how do I keep on benefiting the ummah? When a person has this, then alhamdulillah, the journey of becoming a muqarrab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes easy. And you know, this is a good state to be in. You know, as we had mentioned for a few weeks now, you know, Allah ka mukarrab. I mean, we keep hearing that, but I mean, what does it mean? I mean, there's a hadith that has been mentioned by Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and you also find this in the Arba'een of Imam Nabawi rahmatullah ta'ala. It's a very famous hadith. It's a hadith a Qudsi in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, I mean, just look at each part of this hadith. First part, whoever shows enmity,
Whoever shows enmity to one of my walis, one of my friends, then I have declared war against them. So now, as we defined before, the wali is a person who already has achieved qurba of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, going through the whole process that we have been discussing. So Allah ta'ala starts with that, that you know, whoever shows enmity, whoever opposes them, whoever, kehta dushmani karna, choti choti baat pe bas, koi aankhon mein dasta nahi hai. So whoever shows enmity to my wali, to my friends, then I have declared war against them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, like, how, what is this process? So he says that my servant does not draw near to me with anything more beloved to me than the religious duties that I've obligated upon him. Meaning, a person draws close to me through the fara'id. Now the fara'id, the things that are fard obligatory, of course we know the, you know, the five pillars of the deen, but there are so many other wajibat of the deen as well. Right? There are so many other wajibat. It's not necessarily just the salah. Of course, salah is part of it, but it is looking holistically, things that we need that are fara'id and wajibat that should be in our life. Like, for example, even, you know, being kind and merciful to our parents. Do not think that is a wajib for a person to do that? Of course it is, right? I mean, this is said in the Quran again and again. Again and again it's mentioned in the Quran. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنَ إِحْسَانًا, that you have to treat your walidain, your parents, with ihsan. Ihsan is excellence. Ihsan is, you know, doing favor. Ihsan is with beauty. You know, you have to treat your parents with that. Of course, this is part of the fara'id and wajibat that we are talking about, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that. A person draws. So it's not just the hukukullah aspect of things. That of course you fast, you give your zakah, when it becomes fard, you go for hajj, and of course the daily prayers. But when you look at the hukuk al ibad as well, the rights of people around us, all of these, a lot of these things are wajibat, right? And so, you know, again, the ulama, one of their jobs is to kind of identify what these things are. Some of them things are farz-e-ayn, and then some are farz-e-kifaya. That farz-e-kifaya means that some in the community should be doing it. Some in the community should at least be doing it, otherwise the whole community becomes blameworthy. Right? So this is like how the journey of becoming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts. And then Allah ta'ala says that my servant continues to draw near to me with nawafil, nafil deeds, until I love him. So this is, you know, where you show your love. Love is not that you just limit yourself to what has been required of you, right? It's not just that you do A, B, C, right? If you do A, B, C, and then you also do D and E and F and G. Why? Because of your connection with your muhabbah, right? So for example, if your father tells you, you know, beta, can you get me some coffee, some chai, right? You listen to your father, it's like, okay, I'm going to bring him some chai. Mashallah, you try, make some good dooth patti. But while you're bringing it, because of your own muhabba, you say, you know what, my abu also likes namak para. My abu also likes some cookies, some Oreos. So my abu might like some pakoras as well, right? And so you prepare all of that extra, even though your father never asked you for that. But you take that extra step. You take that extra step, right? And you bring that. Do you think that your father or your mother would be happy? It's like, oh, mashallah, you know, look at what you did. I didn't even ask for this. Jazakallah for bringing it. This is the extra stuff that you do, right? This is the extra. You know, you go pick up somebody from the airport. I mean, they only ask for a ride. Imagine you go there with a bouquet of flowers, right? And or it's the extra happening, because you're showing that somebody really matters, that you really care about somebody. So similarly, that's exactly what nafil is. It's not that you don't, you know, if you don't do nawafil that, you know, you'll be blameworthy, that Allah Ta'ala will give you some kind of punishment for that. I mean, that's the definition of nafil, is that it's something extra. But it shows that Allah Ta'ala matters to you. Right? It shows that Allah Ta'ala matters. Right? So this is what the state of nafil is. Ya Allah, I know I'm required to do this, right? But Allah, I love you so much more that I have to do this extra. I have to do this extra. I have to do this extra. And you find this even in salah, you have the nawafil. Even in fasting, you fast 30 days, you have to fast. That is fard upon everyone. But then there are all these extra fasts as well. You know, the Mondays and the Thursdays and the ayam abya, that you know, the 13th, 14th, and 15th, and you know, other nawafil as well. They're nawafil fast. But why are they there? Allah, you matter to me. Same thing, zakat is fard. But then there's all this extra sadaqat, right? Because Allah, you matter to me. Hajj is fard upon certain people, right? But then, you know, once you're done with it, what is umrah? Umrah is, ya Allah Kareem, this is my extra because you really matter to me. So it is showing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah ta'ala, you matter. And so Allah ta'ala says in this hadith, I could see it's mentioned in Bukhari. And as I said, Imam Nabawi rahmatullah includes this in his Arba'een as well, that, you know, the person becomes beloved to me, right? So draws near, how? Making sure all the faraid are kept. Becomes beloved. You know, I start loving him. Such a beautiful, Allah Ta'ala is saying, I start loving this person. All the extra things that we do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is the sign and symptom of that love? What is the effect? Because people might say, you know, what might be the effect of it? The hadith goes, when I love him, I am his hearing with which he hears. I become his ears with which he hears. Sajib, right? Of course, there's a, it's not physical, it's not literal, of course. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a transcendent Rabb. But, you know, just look at the barakah of such a person. Allah Ta'ala is saying that I become the hearing with which this person hears. And I become the sight with which he sees. Kya ajeeb baat. Allah Ta'ala kehte hain ki jis nazar se dekhta hai ki main uski nazar ban jata. So just again, like, look at the barakah of such a person, that the hearing is hearing, you know, Allah says, I become the hearing, I become the sight, and his hand with which he strikes and his foot with which he walks. Everything. This is like everything. I'm moving my limbs. Right, most important part of my body, right? I have to walk with my legs. I have to perform with my hands and arms. My, you know, my basarat and my sama'at, right? It's like the most important ones, right? I need to be able to hear to make sense of the world. I need to be able to see. So it's everything that is extremely necessary. You know, I can remain quiet. I mean, speech is a very important part, but even if I'm quiet, you know, like if the tongue doesn't speak, right, a person can still survive. But I mean, you need the hearing, you need the sight, you need to be able to use your arms and your legs. So it's really like, you know, you being a practical, productive person. And Allah Ta'ala says that I become those things that make you productive. I get, you know, I put barakah in your life, that such a person, their company, they're, you know, they're sitting with them, sitting in the suhbah becomes a source of barakah for those around. This is the whole cycle of how you become a muqarrab, and then others who sit in your company also start the journey of becoming a muqarrab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then again Allah ta'ala says, when he were he to ask me, make dua to me, I would surely give it to him. There's like no doubt I will give it to him. This is the definition of what we call mustajabu da'wat. That such people who are muqarrab, such people who are wali, they become those people who are mustajabu da'wat. Allah Ta'ala does not reject their du'as. Right? Allah Ta'ala accepts their du'a. Again, this is the barakah of all that they had done. Right? This is not just a person with a specific DNA. This is the person who made effort, and we keep talking about what that effort looks like, right? So they made this whole journey till they come to a point where Allah Ta'ala says, I start loving him. I love this person. I become their sight and their hearing and their arms and their legs, right? And if they were to ask me something, I will give it to them. And were he to seek refuge with me, I would surely grant him refuge as well. Allah Ta'ala says, okay, if a person, such a person seeks protection. I mean, this protection could be from the nafs. This protection could be from shaitan. This protection could be from bad company. This protection could be from anything. You know, like think about all the things that we run away from in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives protection from all of that. From all of that. This protection and another signs of being a wali of the in the Quran is لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. So this could also mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects such a person from that khawf, from the fear, the state of the ummah now. And huzn, always the state of grief, fear of the unknown, Allah ta'ala becomes a protection, a source of refuge against those things. Okay? So this is, you know, we have to really look at these ayahs and look at these ahadith collectively. Because Allah Ta'ala is talking about a state of being a muqarrab, being a wali, right? It's very clearly mentioned in the Quran and Hadith. This is not made up stuff. It's clearly mentioned in the Quran and Hadith. So it means this is something that we have to aim for. Okay, this is something we have to aim for in our life. So we have to kind of follow the curriculum that exists, right? Good suhbah, right? Becoming a person who does adab and qadar and muhabbat, you know, become a person like that in all states that we're in. Looking for ilm nafi', doing amal salihah, right? Becoming a source of hikmah, you know, having the capacity to be a good decision maker in our lives, you know, with wisdom, right? And then, you know, being in a state of zuhud, that, you know, that Allah Ta'ala, whatever Allah Ta'ala gives me, whatever wealth Allah gives me, whatever position Allah Ta'ala gives me, I use it not for sourced for my own self-actualization, but I do it as a source of benefiting the ummah, drawing close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, of course, such a person will have anabat ilallah, as Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, abde munib, kalbe munib. Such a person will have ikhlas, sincerity. And such a person will, inshallah ta'ala, end up being a muqarrab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Okay. So inshallah ta'ala, we make dua to Allah ta'ala that Allah ta'ala allows us to, inshallah ta'ala, experience this in our life, or at least have the goal in our life. Right? You have to have goals in your life. You cannot just live your life day by day. You know, dekha jayega, kya hoga, huh? Right? That's not how we live our lives. Rasul Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam was extremely goal-oriented, very goal-oriented. And it's not, if you look at his Mubarak life, it's not that every single, you know, endeavor that he had resulted in success. We have the example of, for example, Ta'if. You know, from that point in time, if you look at that specific point in time, one could have said that, oh my, you know, he made that journey and, you know, he wanted the people of Taif to accept him. But that did not result in that, right? But that did not relent Rasul Akram. But this is what a goal-oriented person is. That you keep trying, you know, you try here, did not work. You try here, okay, maybe it won't work. You keep on trying. And he went to Medina Munawwara. Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up doors. Again and again. And even there, not every single expedition resulted in success. I mean, we know that Badr, alhamdulillah, divine help was there. But in Uhud, you know, the Quran tells us that there was difficulty there. And the Quran tells us why the difficulty was. Rasul Akram said there was a setback. Rasul Akram said some, you know, lost Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the greatest Sahaba. Right? A lot of people were shaheed, you know, 70 shuhada were there. And one could have said, oh my God, you know, that could have been end of it. No, but you keep moving, you keep going, you keep working towards your goal. Khandaq was extremely, you know, the Ahzab, the Battle of the Trench, very difficult, very extremely difficult. I mean, this was really like, if you think about all of Arab, like the major, like warrior tribes and whatnot, they came together just with the sole purpose of annihilation. There was no other purpose. It wasn't like, let's have some discussion. No, it was annihilation. And you had some treacherous people in Medina Munawwara as well. You have the Munafiqeen, and you had certain tribes as well who were, you know, who became a source. You know what? We're going to backstab the Muslims. Right? Again, at that point in time, a person could have said, Ya Allah, is this the end of it? Is this the end of the Ummah? Right? But you don't allow setbacks because, again, you're goal-oriented. You're tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know, just, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam kept on moving on and moving on and moving on. Till إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. We have to live our life like that as well. Okay, we have to become people with certain goals and vision, direction. We have to become the Zahideen. We have to have the knowledge of the dunya. We also have to have the knowledge of the deen. And again, we use all of that for the benefit of our ummah and for the benefit of Islam. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us, inshallah, to become those people. Amin ya Rabbul Alameen. Wa akhru da'wana anil hamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Inshallah ta'ala, for a few minutes, just close your eyes, bow your heads in humility and humbleness. Aankhon ko band kar lein, sar ko jhuka lijiye. Dunya ma fiha se hatke Allah Rabbul Izzat ki yaad mein doob jaiye. Tasavvur kijiye ki na zameen hai, na asmaan, na chaand, suraj, sitare, na insaan, na hayvan, na shaitan. Just disconnect yourself from the thoughts of the dunya and everything in the dunya, everyone in the dunya. Step back, focus on your hearts, make intention with himmah. Himmat ke saath niyat kijiye. Ki Allah ki anwarat, tajalliyat, fuyuzat mere qalb ke andar aa rahe hain. Uski zulmat, sakhti, gandagi ko dur kar rahe hain. That all the filth and darkness is dissipating away. Mehsoos kijiye ki qalb keh raha hai, Allah, Allah, Allah. Rab usko sun rahe hain. Inshallah, listen to your heart saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. دعك الليدي سبحان ربي على الوهاب. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد مبارك وسلم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. رب زدني علما، رب زدني علما، رب زدني علما. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وقنا عذاب القبر وقنا عذاب الحشر وقنا عذاب يوم يقوم الحساب. ادخلنا جنة مع الأبرار يا عزيز يا غفار يا رب العالمين. صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.